Not just political, not just lifestyle, but always relevant. See and hear it first at dnewman.org.
And what is it today? Very seldom do we ever do back-to-back shows about one topic, but we are going to today, Tuesday, June 19th, do not a repeat, but a second chapter of yesterday's immigration story, simply because it is everywhere in the news. Everybody's talking about immigration. The news media have dominated the airways, the newspapers, and the radios with stories of immigration and what's going on at the southern border. Hello, everybody, and welcome to dnewman.org. Before we get into this, let me remind you, we are putting podcasts, audio podcasts, up almost daily, and usually any day there's not a podcast, there's at least a written story. To make sure you don't miss any of them, go to the homepage of dnewman.org. Down at the bottom right side of the page, there's a place for you to stick your email address. And if you'll do that, we will not mark it to you. We won't give your email address to anyone else. You'll never hear from us except when we post a brand new podcast or story. And when we do that during the night while most of you are asleep, you'll get an email that has a link to that specific podcast or story. And so when you get up the next day or when you're at work or taking a break at the office or just at the house trying to figure out what to do, you can click on that link. It'll take you right to it. You can listen to the podcast or read the story. You just got that commercial absolutely free. So what is there still to talk about on this Tuesday about illegal immigration as it pertains to the United States? Here's what's troubling to me. The news media have an obvious perspective and a political narrative that they are selling. I'm not so sure who is instigating all of this marketing. I've got my suspicions, and we'll talk about that later. The first half of the show, I want to talk to you about immigration law, and we have it. This is what every administration is supposed to operate by. Let me give you the historical U.S. immigration laws and tell you a little bit about them. The U.S. Commission on Immigration Reform that was led by Representative Barbara Jordan ran from 1990 to 1997. The commission covered many facets of immigration policy, but started from the perception that the credibility of immigration policy can be measured by this simple yardstick. People who should get in do get in. People who should not get in are kept out. And people who are judged deportable are forced to leave. From there, in a series of four reports, the commission looked at all aspects of immigration policy. In the first report, it discovered that enforcement was pretty relaxed and needed improvement on the border and internally. No surprise to us, even all these years later. For internal enforcement, it recommended that an automated employment verification system be created. That helped employers to distinguish between legal and illegal workers. And of course, employers in the United States are still not supposed to hire illegal workers. They can be immigrants, but they've got to have green cards. The second report discussed legal immigration issues, and it suggested that family members and skilled workers receive priority when it comes to legal immigration. The third report covered refugee and asylum issues. And finally, the fourth reiterated the major points of the previous reports and the need for a new immigration policy. No surprise to any of you, few of these suggestions were implemented. It was called the IM Act, the Immigration Act of 1990. It modified and expanded the 65 Act, and it increased the total immigration limit to 700,000, increased visas by 40%. Family reunification was kept in as a main immigration criteria, with significant increases in employment-related immigration. All these seem pretty smart to me. Several pieces of legislation signed into law in 1996 marked a turn towards harsher policies for both legal and illegal immigrants. The Anti-Terrorism and Effective Death Penalty Act, called AEDPA, and Illegal Immigration Reform and Immigrant Responsibility Act vastly increased the categories of criminal activity for which immigrants, including green card holders, can be deported, and it also imposed mandatory detention for certain types of deportation cases. As a result, over 2 million individuals were reported deported. in the first few years after 1996. Then we fast forward to 2000. The terrorist attacks on September 11th of 2001 really impacted the way Americans thought about many issues. And of course, that included immigration. A total of 20 foreign terrorists were involved in that 9/11 attack. 19 took part in the attacks that caused the deaths of 2,977 Americans. Most of those were civilians. The terrorists came into the U.S. on tourist or student visas. I actually know a guy that lives in my hometown who was in a school in Florida, an airline pilot aviation school, with a couple of these guys that were getting educated on how to fly planes. Of course, he didn't know about it then, but when it all came down, he was shocked that he had been in school with them. Four of those guys had violated the terms of their visas. The attack exposed long-standing weaknesses in the U.S. immigration system that included failures in the areas of visa processing, internal enforcement, and information sharing between bureaus. And I don't think that the government bureaus in the United States, the different departments, have fixed that information sharing thing. Everything should be shared as it's deemed important and critical information from bureau to bureau, department to department. The Real ID Act of 2005 changed some of those visa limits, tightened restrictions on asylum apps, and made it easier to exclude terrorist suspects and remove restrictions on building border fences. In 2005, two senators, famous, you know their names, John McCain and Ted Kennedy, they revived that discussion of comprehensive immigration reform and issued a proposal of the Secure America and Orderly Immigration Act. It included legalization, guest worker programs, it enhanced border security. The bill was never voted on in the Senate, but parts are incorporated in later Senate proposals. In 06, the House and the Senate produced their own conflicting bills. In December of 05, the House passed the Border Protection, Anti-Terrorism, and Illegal Immigration Control Act of 05. It was sponsored by Representative James Sensenbrenner, a Republican from Wisconsin. It was limited to enforcement and focused on the border and the interior, both parts of immigration. In the Senate, the Comprehensive Immigration Reform Act of 06 was sponsored by Arlen Specter, remember him, Republican from Pennsylvania, and it passed in May of 06. That bill would have given a path to eventual citizenship to most of those undocumented immigrants already in the country, as well as really increased legal immigration. Although the bills passed their respective chambers, no comprehensive bill emerged. They could not reconcile it between the House and the Senate. Then in 07, another one. The Comprehensive Immigration Reform Act of 2007 was discussed in the Senate. It would have given a path to citizenship to a large majority of illegal entrants in the country, significantly increased legal immigration and increased enforcement. The bill failed, couldn't even get a cloture vote, essentially killed it. Individual parts of various reform packages have been separately introduced and pursued in the Congress since then. Remember the DREAM Act? Do you really know what the DREAM Act was? It is a bill that was initially introduced way back in 01. It included the various reform bills and then separately reintroduced in 09 and 2010. The bill would provide legal residency and a path to citizenship for undocumented immigrants who graduate from U.S. high schools and attend college or join the military. Immigrant visa limits set by Congress stayed at 700,000 for the combined categories of employment, family preference, and family immediate. There are additional parts of it for diversity, small number of special visas. In 08, immigration in these categories totaled slightly less than 750,000, and similar totals representing maximums that Congress had approved have been tallied in recent years. Naturalization numbers have ranged from about 500,000 to just over 1 million per year since the early 90s. The big years were 96 and 08. Each of them had about 1,040,000. These numbers add up to more than the number of visas issued in those years, because as many as 2.7 million of those who were granted amnesty in 1986, remember Reagan did that, they have converted or will convert to citizenship. Immigrants become eligible for citizenship, in general, after 5 years of being here legally. Many don't immediately apply or do not pass the test on the first attempt. This means the counts for visas and the counts for naturalization will always remain out of step with each other, though in the long run, naturalizations add up to somewhat less than the visas. Now, all of these numbers are separate from illegal immigration, which peaked at probably, and the key word is probably, over 1 million a year around the year 2000, and has probably declined to about 500,000 per year by 2009, which seems comparable or, I guess, less than the outflow returning to their native countries. Some of the legal immigrant categories include former illegal immigrants who have come current on legal applications and passed background checks. Those folks are included in the count of legal visas, not as separate or additional numbers. For Mexico and the Philippines, the only categories of immigrant visa available in practice are for those for immediate dependent family of U.S. citizens. Why wouldn't they keep numbers across the board on all of, especially for Mexico? People who applied since 94 have not been in the categories for adult children and siblings. Trends show these data are unlikely to change. In fact, the trend has been moving in the opposite direction. Immigrant work visas run about 6 to 8 years behind current numbers. While the government does not publish data on the number of pending applications, wonder why they don't do that? Think they're hiding stuff? The evidence is that the backlog in those categories dwarfs the yearly quotas. So there's more than they're telling us. Go figure. Legal immigration visas should not be confused with temporary work permits. You got to differentiate between the two. Permits for that labor, seasonal labor, it's about $285,000 a year, or students, about $1 million, a little less than $1 million a year, generally don't permit conversion to immigrant status. Even those who are legally authorized to work temporarily in the U.S. must apply for permanent residence separately, and they get no advantage from their temporary employment authorization. It's almost like they have to start brand new. This is unlike many other countries whose laws allow for permanent residence after a certain number of years of legal employment. Temporary workers do not form a distinctly counted source of immigration. Let's move forward. April 17, 2013, the so-called Gang of Eight in the U.S. Senate introduced Bill S-744. Everybody had been waiting a long time for that one, the Senate version of the immigration reform bill proposed in Congress. Text of that legislation was released on the website of Senator Chuck Schumer. The bill has not even been taken up by the U.S. House of Representatives. Go figure. November 21st, 2014, President Barack Obama signed two executive actions which had the effect of delaying deportation for millions of illegal immigrants. The orders apply to parents of U.S. citizens and young people brought into the country illegally. That's kind of the nickel tour of what DACA is all about. So, regarding U.S. immigration law and illegal immigration, it's very plain and simple, folks. It is illegal, though a misdemeanor, it's still a criminal act to enter the United States without having prior written authorization. People from other countries that are in extreme, dire, physical, potential murderous or criminal actions being executed against them can apply for asylum, and the U.S. has a law and a process to process those. But here's the problem. You're supposed to go to a port of interest, the nearest port of entry in the country in which you live, go to a U.S. embassy or consulate, and tell them, I want to apply for asylum into the United States, and they will process you there. Then why are all millions of these immigrants, even from Central America, crossing Mexico, and illegals from Mexico, storming our southern border, screaming for asylum? Why are so many people coming illegally, knowing that it's illegal, to get across the border to get in. Obviously, the end result is simple. They want to be here. They want to come live in the United States. And who doesn't? Who wouldn't want to come to the United States? Nevertheless, people are taking advantage of them. Human traffickers are selling spots in people trains, just groups of people that they're forcing to pay them large sums of money, and they promise to get them into the United States. Drug smuggling, sex trafficking. Hundreds of thousands of people are coming to the United States that probably are good people. They're being taken advantage of by illegals who see an opportunity to make illegal bucks on the backs of immigrants that just simply want to come to the United States. And even back when Bill Clinton was president, when George H. Bush was president before him, and then Bush 43 after Clinton, and then Obama, immigration law was not enforced. Those administrations I just mentioned, let everything slide. Why did they do that? Well, first of all, you can always look at the political ramifications of legislation, not the legal ramifications of pending legislation, but the political ramifications. How politicians go in the way of that legislation is not very seldom, I don't want to say never, but it is not always finding what's best for the United States of America and the American people. Often, unfortunately, it is to appease donors, political followers, look for money, look for power, and you can bet that almost always one of, if not the fundamental reason legislation is passed in Congress is because of those things rather than what is best for America. So it is not politically correct, according to the political elites, to turn away illegal immigrants at the southern border. We have an obligation, they say, as compassionate, friendly, neighborly Americans as a country, to not only let immigrants come in legally, more than all the other countries in the world combined every year, over a million. That's not just where it stops. It keeps going. Anybody that wants to come in, we should not only let them in, but we ought to shelter them, give them medical care, education, all free. And of course, you and I both know there's nothing free. Taxpayers, American taxpayers, pay for it. They won't open borders. And we've had this conversation over and over and over again. Why would they want open borders? Primarily, it's for votes. And primarily, it's leftist Democrats that are pushing this agenda because they are seeing their party shrink. Middle America, it was very obvious in the election in 2016, are turning away from the liberal agenda toward conservative, make America great again policies. That, of course, was introduced and led by our current president, Donald Trump. And the leftists are scrambling. When we come back, we're going to look at exactly what is going on. We have two bills, a conservative and a compromise bill, that we have been promised will hit the floor for debate this week and voting in the U.S. House of Representatives. We'll talk about that, and I'm going to tell you what's driving the agenda of the Democrat Party. That's all just ahead at dnewman.org.
Morning face. You get it when you don't sleep well. This is what happened to Linda.
Morning, guys.
Good morning. Ah, what is that thing?
It's me, Linda.
Oh, my God, it talks. Run!
No, it's me, Linda, from HR.
It looks hungry. Save the children. Save them.
Wait.
Stay back. I've got mace.
Ow, that went in my eyes.
We're moving.
It's called beauty sleep for a reason. And there's never been a better time to get some.
Get 20% off IKEA Sultan mattresses. IKEA, love your home. Planet Fitness, through the use of motivating montage music, has made it easy to join. Just remember 10-10-10. For 10 days, sign up for $10 and pay just $10 a month after that. Hurry, you only have until November 10th to take advantage of this Planet Fitness offer. Planet Fitness on 42nd Street next to Shopko.
No identity politics, no political elitism. Read and hear the truth, always sourced from facts. Right here at dneumann.org.
The facts of illegal immigration, front and center at dneumann.org. Did you know nearly 60,000 immigrants with arrest records, including 10 accused of murder, have been allowed to stay in the United States under the Obama-era Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals? That's DACA. That was revealed by the Department of Homeland Security today. According to DHS, 59,786 DACA recipients have been arrested while in the U.S. Approximately 7.8% of all who have been approved to remain in this country under the program since it was created in 2012. Of those, 53,792 were arrested before their most recent request for a so-called grant of deferred action was approved. Another 7,814 were arrested after their request was approved. The DHS statistics do not indicate how many of the arrested immigrants were convicted of crimes, nor do they say whether charges were reduced or dropped. They also don't indicate how many arrested DACA recipients were deported as the result of a conviction. This all while the discussion is way underway ad nauseum all through the United States about what are we going to do to fix immigration. I looked on in horror yesterday, Monday, at the White House briefing when DHS Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen met with the press and made a very elaborate statement, very lengthy and detailed statement about what's going on in illegal immigration and enforcement at the southern border. You might want to Google that. In fact, I'll do this. I'll find it. I'll get it in written format, and I'll put it, by the time this podcast goes up, I'll put a PDF of her entire segment at the White House briefing. I'll put it up so that you can download it. It was very incredible how detailed it was and how historically it brought us to where we are today and what's going on. First of all, there are no kids in cages at the southern border. In fact, the detention centers that kids are required to be put for their safety when it is impossible for ICE agents and for Border Patrol agents to determine that children are actually with a real parent or relative when they come across the border. In fact, 85% of the recent group of children, 10,000 that have been brought over of the 12,000 recently, 10,000 could not be proved that they were with actual relatives when they came across. So what are you going to do? You got an 8-year-old kid that comes across with a 35-year-old guy and he says, I'm an uncle, or, it's my kid, and they have no documentation, no paper. You think sex trafficking, human trafficking, you think all kind of bad things. And until you can verify that that really is a relative and there's no danger to that child, you separate them. Now, separating them and putting them in detention are two different things. They don't go into cages. They don't go into jails. If you've looked, and if you haven't, you need to look online and see pictures of those centers along all across the southern border. It's like the kindergartens that my kids and your kids go to. They get an education. They are clothed. They are sheltered. They are housed. They get lunches. They get snacks. They get playground time. It's like a school. They get medical help. The law is the law, and the requirements are there. There is no policy change under the Trump administration. Here's the only difference. Donald Trump pledged in his campaign, and he is continuing to honor that pledge, to enforce immigration law. That was not done under Barack Obama in his 8 years. It was not done under George W. Bush in his 8 years. It was not done under Bill Clinton in his 8 years as president. It wasn't done by George H.W. Bush. It's crazy. Arbitrarily, to keep from getting in the middle of something rather than making Congress fix this situation. The only governing body in America that can. All these presidents let it slide. And believe me, the same or worse stuff was going on during the Obama administration. Remember the picture of those two kids in cages? The reporter that released those pictures made that was during the Trump administration, current time. It wasn't. It was in the Obama administration in 2014. Henry Cuellar, Democrat congressman from Texas, weighed in on this on CNN. Listen to what Cuellar had to say.
So under the Obama administration, there was, according to the Washington Post reporting, a surging number of unaccompanied minors being apprehended at the border. In 2014, there were nearly 70,000, according to the Post reporting. And that same year, there was this viral image of children being kept in a cage at a detention center. Do you see any parallels here? How different is what we're seeing today from these images?
In many ways, and I think I don't know what image you're using, but I released some of those photos because it was kept very quiet under the Obama administration. There were large numbers of people coming in. The Obama administration was trying to keep this quiet, and I don't know which image you're using, but I released some photos that I had gone about those young kids that were kept there, and we're still seeing a numbers. And keep in mind, when they talk about putting some of the young kids in those centers, not all of them are being separated. Some of them are coming alone, as Ed said a few minutes ago. Some of them are coming on their own. So it's not a matter that every single child that we have in those centers are being separated, because some of them are coming alone. Keep in mind that under the law, you can separate a child if that person, the adult, is not the real parent or the custodian. Because sometimes we see situations where they'll bring a child because they know of the policy that we have over here with children, or at least what we used to have. Or if there's a criminal offense, but they're using this zero tolerance to separate, and that's an area that I think we need to look at.
So, Congressman,
it wasn't just happening recently. It happened in the Obama administration. A zero tolerance policy was put in place by Barack Obama. He was inundated with criticism. He was called by the press when he did this and implemented this policy, zero tolerance. He was called the deporter in chief. And during Hillary Clinton's campaign, when she was being criticized for foreign policy issues and immigration policies during her tenure as Secretary of State, they took pride in saying that they deported more people than any other presidential administration in history. But of course, that was during a campaign. And that was during a time when it wasn't politically correct to be allowing all the illegal immigrants to come in that are coming in now. Whatever is politically expedient for the political elite, that's supposed to be what is accepted and righteous and right. Two things, folks. Congress has got to fix this. They've got two laws that they can bring up, debate, amend, and vote on, and they say they're going to do it this week. Congress has never acted on a comprehensive immigration bill. They have made it look like they are going to. The Gang of Eight, Chuck Schumer, John McCain, supposedly reaching across the aisle and working together, superseding party. All that was BS. There was no there. There was no meat on the bone. There were no intentions to get anything done. It was to look good politically and to maintain the status quo. People are dying in the deserts when human traffickers are gouging these families that have nothing in Mexico and Central America with a promise: we're going to get you to the promised land. We're going to get you in the United States. People are dying in the deserts. They're being taken advantage of. Women being raped, children being sold as sex slaves. It's happening over and over and over again. You know what'll stop it? You know what stops it in other countries around the world? You know that fence between the Palestinians and Israel? It's a fence, and Israel guards it, and nobody comes over. A border wall. A border wall will stop. Look, if you put a lollipop on your kitchen table, or two or three, or a chocolate cupcake, and you have children in your house, and they know those lollipops and cupcakes are on the table, and you tell them, you can't have that. You can't have that. But you leave it there, and it's just in the middle of the table. It's not up in a pantry or cupboard where they can't get to it. It's easy access. What happens? The temptation is there. They're going to do everything they can. They'll wait till you go to sleep. They'll wait till you're out of the room, but they're going to get to that lollipop and that cupcake. No different at our southern border, folks. They're told it's easy access. And of course, we know why they want to come. That's number one. Congress has got to fix it. Number two, you and me have been looking and waiting for the Democrat platform for the 2018 midterms and the 2020 presidential elections. You know what their platform looks like it's going to be? Illegal immigration and heartless Republicans who are locking up kids, breaking up families, and we're not taking care of the problem. That's why yesterday I predicted these two bills would not even be voted on this week, because Congress doesn't want to fix this. They like it is, because it's politically expedient. It's good for them. It gives them fuel. It gives them ammunition in their guns to go after their opponents and political races. You see it now. It's all over the campaigns right now for offices at every state, local, and federal level for the midterms in November. They're doing it now, and they're going to ramp it up. Why? Because they have nothing else. Democrats have no other thing of substance that they can run on. It ain't going to work for them to campaign against Donald Trump because of the economy, because of foreign policy. Things are too good. Employment? Unemployment virtually non-existent. They don't have any other thing to run on. So they're going to denigrate Republicans and Trump supporters trying to talk their way into winning back the House of Representatives this fall. Mark my word. You heard it here. And you're going to hear more and more evidence as they keep going with their agenda, which is to dump Trump, win back the House, and they want to impeach the president. Hey, thank you so much for joining us today. We'll be back tomorrow. Now, remember, it's not always audio podcast. It may be a written story. But make sure you look every day when you get up, because we're here for you. Thank you for joining us at dnewman.org.
Don't ever miss a story or podcast. Get an email link to every new story and podcast by entering your email address on the homepage of dnewman.org. If it's relevant, you'll get it here.